Hey, 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 everybody, what's up, what's up, what's up? This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, and my name is Neo Gentrix. It's great to hear from you guys again. It's great to see y'all, everyone that is here. All right, all right. Now, I'm still recording this for my podcast, but I'm happy to be here with the rest of you guys. I'm going to cover something that you asked me about. I got my notes here. If there's anything else, I'll probably look it up along the way as we go. But if I'm not mistaken, your question over here, your question was, what is sickle cell disease? Let's see here. If I'm not mistaken, SCD, it's an inherited blood disorder, okay? It's not something you can just get. It's not contagious. That's the good news. But because it's inherited, it means it's passed down through your families. So you're either born with it or you're not, so there's that. It's not something you can catch or develop later. And the disease, it gets its name because when you have SCD, your red blood cells look like sickles, okay? Which is a C-shaped, like kind of like a farm tool. Red blood cells contain a molecule called hemoglobin, which carries oxygen through the body. In a healthy person, hemoglobin is smooth, round, and flexible. That allows red blood cells to glide easily through your bloodstream, but if you have SCD, the hemoglobin's shape is abnormal. It forms rods that clump together, and these cause red blood cells to become rigid and curved, and the odd-shaped cells block blood flow. It's dangerous, it can cause extreme pain, anemia, other symptoms, you name it. About 100,000 people in the United States have it, roughly. Unfortunately, most of them are, as they call them, African Americans. It is known in other countries to have it as well. That's just the statistic I have here for America. A problem. So here's a question. What causes the disease? Okay. Let me see if I can answer that for you. A problem in the hemoglobin beta gene found in chromosome 11. The defect forms abnormal hemoglobin molecules, which cause this. Basically, both your parents need to pass the abnormal hemoglobin gene onto you in order for you to actually develop the disease. So if both your parents carry the defective gene, you have a 1 in 4 chance of inheriting the disease and becoming sick with it. And if a child is born with one defective hemoglobin beta gene, he may become a carrier of the disease, if not worse. Carriers usually don't develop the SCD at all, but they can pass the disease to future children if their partner also carries the sickle cell trait. So basically, if you will, both parents have to have it, basically an alpha and beta gene, in order for it to become a thing. With that being said, there are several different forms of sickle cell disease, okay? The type you and your child inherit depend on many things, including the specific type of abnormal hemoglobin you have, hemoglobin SS, for one, also known as sickle cell anemia, is usually the most severe type of this disorder. Other common forms would be hemoglobin SC, usually a mild case, hemoglobin S-beta, thalassemia, it's a really hard thing to say. Rarer types, those are the three, the ones I mentioned before, the common ones. Three rarer types would be hemoglobin SD, hemoglobin SE, and hemoglobin SO. Okay? And here in the United States, newborn screening programs require that all babies are tested for this disease shortly after being born for their safety. It's one of the many things that they do. They want to make sure that you're, you know, as they say, healthy. Okay? We'll take a short break here. And we're back. Now, I know I mentioned a second ago that you can get it basically through inheriting it from your parents, okay? But let me go ahead and zoom in a little bit more here into, you know, the cause and effect of this disease real quick. Mainly the abnormal hemoglobin called hemoglobin S, which causes the sickle cell disease, okay? Let me zoom in on this a little bit further. The hemoglobin S gene, How do I put this? Sickle cell disease is an inherited disease caused by defects called mutations in the beta globin gene, okay? That helps make hemoglobin. Normally, the red blood cells take up oxygen in the lungs and carry it through the arteries to all the cells in the tissues in the body. The red blood cells that contain the normal hemoglobin are shaped like discs, or at least something close to it, and are flexible so that they can move easily through large and small blood vessels to deliver oxygen. Now, sickle hemoglobin is not like normal hemoglobin. The mutation in the gene causes a problem when oxygen levels in the blood are lower, which occurs once the hemoglobin has delivered oxygen to the cells in the body's tissues. With less oxygen, the abnormal hemoglobin S can cause rigid, non-liquid protein strands to form in the red blood cell. These rigid strands can change the shape of the cell, causing the sickle red blood cell that gives the disease its name. Now, sickle-shaped cells are not flexible, and they can stick to vessel walls, causing a blockage that slows or stops the flow of blood. When this happens, oxygen is unavailable to reach the nearby tissues. Now, that lack of oxygen in tissue can cause attacks of sudden severe pain, cause pain crisis. I mean, these pain attacks can occur without warning, and a person who has them often needs to go to the hospital for effective treatment immediately, okay? Because sickle cells cannot change their shape easily. They tend to burst apart. Now, normal red blood cells live about 90 to 120 days anyway, but sickle cells last only 10 to 20 days. The body is always making new blood cells to replace the old ones. However, in the sickle cell disease, the body may have trouble keeping up with how fast the blood cells are being destroyed. Because of this, the number of blood cells is usually lower than normal. This condition in itself is called anemia, okay, when you don't have enough blood cells in the first place. It can cause a person to have less energy, okay? Let me go a little more in depth into the other half of it. The fact that it's inherited. Like I said, it is inherited only from one parent. The normal hemoglobin gene, hemoglobin A, is inherited from the other parent. A person will have a sickle cell trait, okay? The person with sickle cell trait are generally healthy, okay? Only rarely do people who have sickle cell trait have complications similar to those seen in people who have sickle cell disease. But people with sickle cell trait are carriers of a defective hemoglobin S gene, so they could pass on to when they have children. Now, if the child's parent also has sickle cell trait or an abnormal hemoglobin gene, such as thalassemia, hemoglobin C, D, or even E, that child has a chance of getting the same disease as well. Okay? How do I put this? Each parent has one normal hemoglobin gene. Let me give an example here. Each parent has a normal hemoglobin gene A, but one of them has hemoglobin gene S, okay? Which means that each child has at least, how do I put it? A 25% chance of inheriting two normal hemoglobin A genes. In this case, the child doesn't have the sickle cell trait or the disease. Or there's the 50% chance that one normal hemoglobin A and S gene will be inherited. This child will have the sickle cell trait, but he won't have the disease. And then there's the last 25% that he'll inherit both of the S genes and therefore inherit the disease. Now, in this scenario, it's important to keep in mind that each time a couple has a child, the chances of the child having the disease remain the same. In other words, even if the firstborn has the disease, there's still that same 25% chance that the child after will also have the disease. Both boys and girls can inherit this disease. It is not specific to sex, okay? They could either end up with the sickle cell trait, the disease, or the hemoglobin. They each have a 50-50 shot of getting any one of the three. If a person wants to know whether he or she carries that gene, he needs to order a blood test from the doctor to find out. Okay? Continuing on with this, let me go into the next one, okay? That was basically hemoglobin S. The next type of sickle cell to keep in mind would be sickle beta 0 thalassemia disease. Okay? It's still a type of anemia in a way. Okay? So let me ask this. What is sickle beta thalassemia 0? Or, you know, it's basically the same thing in a nutshell. However, it's not the same, okay? It's similar. Let's put it this way. Your child's red blood cells contain normal hemoglobin, called hemoglobin S, like I mentioned before, or the sickle hemoglobin. In addition, the red blood cells have a defect called thalassemia, which results in the cells that are smaller, results in cells that are smaller in size and more pale than usual. So, instead of appearing round or donut-shaped, if you will, your child's blood cells are somewhat small, pale, and misshapen. Some may appear sickled or banana-shaped. Now, there's a thought. Your blood looks like a banana, but not edible. Because sickle beta 0 thalassemia is inherited, it's a lifelong disorder, okay? There is no treatment for it at the moment or a cure, although they're currently working on one, to my knowledge at the moment. There may be one yet, but at the moment, I don't know. Your child will always have a mild anemia or a slightly low blood count, okay? This may result in occasional tiredness and weakness, you know. And while I'd like to go into how my child got this, like I mentioned before with the last one, if one parent has a sickle trait and the other parent has... Well, this one's a little different. If one parent has the sickle trait, but then the other one has the beta 0 trait, there's actually a 1 in 4 chance that their child will be born with normal hemoglobin, the beta 0 trait, sickle beta 0 thalassemia altogether, or just a sickle trait. You know, and these chances remain the same for each pregnancy after the first. They're basically the same. So, I mean, this one works out the same way as before. The only difference is only one of them has to have this specific trait, whereas the other one would have the regular trait. Okay? Now, let me mention something here. There have been problems seen in children with sickle 0 thalassemia. Most information about the sickle cell anemia, which applies to this one, like sickle cell anemia, your child still has a high risk, increased risk of getting infections such as meningitis, an infection of the brain, pneumonia, septicemia, which is blood poisoning, osteomyelitis. I think I'm butchering the name on that one. It's an infection of the bone. And because children are more susceptible to infections than regular children, he or she will put on, like, they'll be put on penicillin until age 5 in order to help prevent these diseases from occurring. And it's important that your child take the penicillin as directed. However, one thing to keep in mind with children that are affected by this, any fevers, especially of 101.5 or 38.5 degrees Celsius, should be taken extremely seriously. And if that's the case, they have it, you need to take them to the doctor immediately. Okay? On another note, painful episodes can occur from this beta 0 gene. Okay? The sickle red blood cells in sickle beta 0, like those in sickle cell anemia, are rigid, stiff, and may sometimes cause log jams in small blood vessels in the bones, organs, or even other parts of your body. Since oxygen, which is carried by the blood, can't get past the log jams into the bones and organs, it causes pain. And these pain episodes occur most commonly in the back, stomach, arms, and legs areas. So yes, it's going to hurt like hell. It can last for a few hours to make as much as a week or more. Okay, occasionally, the pain is accompanied by swelling. Painful episodes can vary in severity of the pain and the duration. There are medications to help ease the pain and make your child more comfortable, but this does not solve the problem. And often, children with sickle cell beta 0 have a slightly enlarged spleen, but this usually doesn't cause any problems. But it is important to inform any physician that sees your daughter or child that he or she has this beta 0 gene. You have to let them know, okay? A child with this gene can have a normal lifestyle and lifespan, okay? You should not be considered, your child should not be considered sick. And you should be treating him or her normally no matter what. okay? Because he or she will need to be seen regularly by your family doctor. This is a known fact for regular checkups and vaccinations. But your child will also need to make several visits a year to see a hematologist or blood specialist just to make sure that everything is okay, okay? And if you want more information on that, okay, check out the New England Pediatric Sickle Cell Consortium. They're doing research on that specific one right now. Now, let me turn my attention away from that one for a second and talk about its twin, okay? It's one similar to it, but it's not exactly the same. This is sickle cell beta plus thalassemia. Thalassemia. That word's gonna drive me nuts all day. Well, you're like, well, what's the difference? What is that? Basically, it's a mild form of sickle cell disease. I mean, based off of what I'm saying, been saying so far, me saying something is mild doesn't seem too believable. But I mean, it is. Okay? Your child's red blood cells in this form have only a small amount of the normal hemoglobin called hemoglobin A. Okay? They also have abnormal hemoglobin called hemoglobin S, which is the sickle cell we mentioned before. Okay? The red blood cells have another problem called beta plus thalassemia. This causes red blood cells to be small and pale. Okay? Basically, it's an inherited condition, same as before. Hemoglobin S comes from one of the parents. All right? Beta plus comes from the other parent. It's the same as the beta zero. Instead of appearing like round donuts, your child's red blood cells are somewhat pale and small and a little bit misshapen, okay? As for the symptoms and problems that occur from it, well, there's something out of the ordinary that a parent will notice. Periods of pain can happen with sigma beta plus. The red blood cells are rigid and stiff. This is normal for any sickle cell, for that matter. Sometimes they clog up the small blood cells in the bones and other parts of the body. They can cause pain because not enough oxygen can get to the bones or other parts of the body. The pain usually happens in the back, stomach, and arms areas, as well as the legs. And with this one, there may be swelling. The pain can last a few hours or up to a week or more, making this one slightly different from the other one. And the amount of pain varies from person to person, okay? Sometimes a child with sigma beta plus can have a slightly enlarged spleen. This organ, as I mentioned earlier, is actually located on the upper left side of the stomach area. A bigger spleen usually doesn't cause any problems, but it will be noticeable. Unlike sigma beta zero, sigma beta plus, there are medicines to help ease the pain, such as taking medications like Tylenol, which is acetaminophen, or ibuprofen, which would be Advil. They usually help the pain. Now, with this one, fluids can help your child too. Okay, your child has a risk of infections, including pneumonia. The abnormal red blood cells clog up the lungs, so this increases the risk of infection here. Your child will need to drink plenty of fluids to keep the blood vessels open so that these things can pass through. So there's at least a way to work with this one, unlike with beta zero. Also, one thing to keep in mind about this one is that children with sigma beta plus can have normal lifespans as well. You know, like the other one, don't consider your child sick. You need to treat them normally, okay? Your child will still need to see a doctor regularly for checkups and vaccinations, much like beta zero. And they will have to see a hematologist several times a year. But other than that, this one's pretty much the same as the one before, with only slight alterations. The only difference is that the symptoms for this one are a lot easier to treat than the other one. Let me move on to the next one. There are four of these remaining, okay? Hemoglobin SC, hemoglobin SD, hemoglobin SE, and hemoglobin SS. Let me start with hemoglobin SE. It's still a type of sickle cell disease, like I mentioned before. All of these are. Which means it affects the shape of the red blood cells, which contain that protein hemoglobin, okay? We already understand that this is what makes the body function like it needs to, and make sure that the blood cells are the right shape, okay? Also, but each one has slightly different effects that make them each different, okay? And like all the others, this one misshapes your red blood cells, and it doesn't allow for oxygen to flow like it's supposed to. With this one, person can have a lot of pain or no pain at all, based off of the fact that they can't get oxygen to certain parts of their body. The severity of the symptoms can vary from person to person with SC, okay? And the disease is caused by mutations in the gene, just as before. People affected by hemoglobin SC disease need to be especially careful to avoid infection and should be checked up regularly by doctors, you know, from time to time. The only difference between this one and the others is that this one may require blood transfusion. A bone marrow transplant may also be recommended depending on the severity of the symptoms. Okay? With this, they have newborn screenings when children are born, especially if the parents are found to have any of the traits that can cause this. Okay? And the thing about this is making a diagnosis for a genetic or rare disease can often be challenging for a lot of these doctors. Healthcare professionals typically look at a person's medical history, symptoms, physical exams, lab test results in order to make a diagnosis in this case, because it's so rare and there's almost no way to determine if a person will get it. Like, there's chances that both parents won't have it, but then that child that's born just happens to inherit the trait and they have no idea where it came from. So there's that. With that being said, there's a lot of different algorithms and things flowing around that allow for them to check this out. Like, how do I put this? The severity of the symptoms can vary from person to person. Some people are minimally affected by it, while others will have, you know, serious complications that require blood transfusions. And I mean, it occurs when the eyes are not getting enough oxygen due to the shape of the blood cells. So this is how this one is triggered specifically. You'll know if a person has it by the way their eyes react. More blood vessels, you know, form around the eyes to make up for this challenge as a result of oxygen not getting there like it's supposed to. And this is called proliferative sickle cell. Retinopathy, and that's as close as I'm gonna get to that. Without close monitoring by an ophthalmologist, this condition can basically lead to vision loss. That's why this one is watched so fervently. It can cause blindness. Another possible complication of hemoglobin SC disease can result with the bones, specifically the bones in the hip, not getting enough oxygen from the red blood cells. And it's most common during or after pregnancy in women affected by this disease. And the treatment for this complication may require actual surgery or physical therapy just to even get through it, okay? There's still a lot of research going on as to figure out what causes this disease or why or how to properly deal with it. So they're watching these people who get this disease specifically very fervently. Now, I'm going to skip to the nitty-gritty of this one, okay? The next one is sickle cell SD, okay? Much like all the others, it's affected the same way and it is inherited, and there is a 1 in 4 chance that every child in the pregnancy of a person who has either the sickle cell trait or the other one having a hemoglobin D trait will end up with SD, okay? Now, in this specific one, how do I put this? People with the hemoglobin D trait or sickle cell trait do not have a hemoglobin disease, okay? And they can't develop the disease later in life, okay? But they can pass it to their children. This is understood. However, the SD trait is typically found in males and females equally and occurs in all races. But it is more common from people from Africa, Caribbean, and South American ancestry. It is less common in the Mediterranean and Middle Eastern people. but it is there. All newborn babies in Utah are tested by default also for hemoglobin SD disease, regardless of their race or ethnic background. The disease is a lifelong condition, and it's not contagious. As for the problems that can be caused with it, well, in certain situations, hemoglobin may be sickle, like I mentioned before. It's basically the situation where the red blood cells become hard, sticky, and clog up the blood vessels. And, I mean, this it's similar to the other iterations. When hemoglobin S interacts with other S, C, or O hemoglobin types, I mean, as a result, SD causes, you know, problems like the sickle cell disease, obviously. And may have periods of, you know, feeling well and times of, you know, sudden intense pain out of nowhere, anywhere in your body. No specific areas have been specified for this one. Damaging red blood cells can't deliver oxygen, obviously, in this format. You know, and again, this one is not very flexible. The sickle D shape of these cells can also rupture blood vessels. They have an even shorter lifespan than the normal red blood cells and the type S, which we have discussed already. And again, it leads to anemia with low blood cell counts as well. Another thing to keep in mind is that ruptured blood cells in turn that are produced from this disease in turn can cause jaundice as well in a lot of people. Children with the SD disease sometimes may have a serious health problems that, if not treated, could also lead to death in this one's case. The problems are infection of the blood, like I mentioned in the last one. However, there's also a sudden enlargement of the spleen with a drop in the red blood cell count due to trapping a large number of blood in the spleen, meaning that they could actually pass out at some point and never wake up again. Other serious problems includes, you know, sudden pain, swelling in the hands or feet, fever, increased infection, anemia, obviously, chest pain, trouble breathing, pneumonia, stroke, blood in urine, leg ulcers, gallstones, yes, that's a thing. Again, with the vision problems, yellowing of the skin, again, like I mentioned, that would be jaundice. Organ damage, that can happen. Kidney failure, which is probably one of the most painful ones. Painful erections if you're a guy. Problems during pregnancy. Things of that nature. Now, the pain management can also be dealt with acetaminophen or Tylenol or ibuprofen, such as, you know, Advil or Motrin. And drinking plenty and plenty of water or, you know, liquids of that sort can help the pain go away, especially in children who are especially active. But if the pain doesn't get better, like I mentioned before with the last one, make sure you take them to the ER and have them meet it immediately. Now, there are some infections of the blood that can occur in infants and young children as well. So doctors will often prescribe also for this one penicillin for the child to keep them immune, okay? And like with much others, remember that the child can also live a normal life. They still have to see a hematologist and have regular checkups for this one as well.